WDLC Country 95.3 107.7, and it is a good Tuesday morning here in the Tri-State area. Currently sunny outside. There's some rain, some thunderstorms all in the forecast today, so I guess we're just going to see what happens and call it that. But it is right now 45 degrees, 8:45 on the noggin, and we have Dr. Singh here, who is a urologist from St. Luke's Hospital and Premier Medical Group. And Dr. Singh, we're going to talk about some urology today and some topics in that field. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Beautiful drive coming over. Right. It's a mixed bag today with the weather, but you know what? We make the best of it. Can't wait till the summer to come in.
Absolutely. And, you know, just seeing some warmer temperatures out there. Everyone's out doing some outdoor activities now. We talked about our outdoor club this morning, so definitely some nicer weather, and I'm glad to have some sunshine this morning. So glad the drive was good.
Thank you.
I'm glad that it was a good drive. But Dr. Singh, if none of you know Dr. Singh, well, let me tell you a little bit about him first. He specializes in men's health, including areas of the prostate, bladder, kidneys, also erectile dysfunction, and cancers in those areas as well. And he's a urologist, so that is what they do. Dr. Singh, I really love having you in here to talk about these things, because as a young male like myself, this is a very special month to you as well. What month is it one more time?
Yeah, April is very important for us young men. It's Testicular Cancer Awareness Month.
There you go. So that's very important to everybody out there to get checked out no matter what age you are. And we're going to be talking about a plethora of different areas here while we have Dr. Singh in this morning. But I want to start off first with something that's very important for anyone at any age who's a guy, and that is the cancer in all these different areas,
right?
Prostate, bladder, kidneys, you know, et cetera. Cancer is something no one wants to really be involved with, and no one really wants to talk about sometimes. And it's a very touchy subject, we know that. But sometimes it can be a reality with anybody who is going through something. For someone who's my age, for someone who's a little bit older, when's a good time for someone to be checked out for any cancer at all, including testicular cancer?
Yeah, so let me just backtrack a little bit. Thank you for the introduction. I am a local product. I grew up in Rockland County. I went to school at New Paltz in Ulster County, and I did my training, and I've come back to the community that I grew up in, and there's no better feeling than to give back to the community I grew up in. I think I make it a mission to provide the best care possible in and out of the city. I think in your backyard, you can get the best urologic care. That being said, you know, nobody understands what a urologist does until you need one. And that's kind of what he alluded to. And yeah, we take care of a lot of things that we take for granted. Kidney health, when it comes to any sort of surgical intervention, that could be kidney stones, right, kidney tumors. You talk about bladder health, you know, smoking is correlated with a lot of cancers, and lung cancer being one of them. It always gets the advertisements and the awareness with lung cancer, but bladder cancer is associated with smoking. Mm-hmm. You know, blood in the urine as a symptom. So we tackle bladder cancer. And then one of the most common cancers that is diagnosed in the United States for men is prostate cancer. So that is a very common cancer that we're treating. So along the whole line of urologic care and health, cancers, we take care of kidney cancers, bladder cancers, prostate cancer, testicular cancer. And then along with that, you know, we take care of women. Women as far as their urinary symptoms, system and kidney stones. So there's a lot that we do. Now, that being said, the main goal of why I am on the airwaves, why every week I'm out in the community talking to my community, and not only to my patients, but anybody who would listen, is that, you know, men's health does not get the attention that it deserves. In the right terms, we can justify that by saying that men suck at coming to doctors. And I don't blame that, right? I mean, I myself am dreading the, once a year rectal exam.
Sure.
I just turned 40. So when is it a good time to see a doctor? I think in general, you ought to start getting physical examinations with a medical doctor once a year, somewhere around the age 40, right? So what, not necessarily that prostate cancer is what's going to be affecting you, but things like diabetes, cholesterol problems, high blood pressure. You know, a lot of these things we don't have a control of. These are the cards that we were dealt with.
Right.
Genetically speaking,
sure,
we don't have the option to choose, you know, what kind of conditions we have to look forward to. But,
well, I was just going to interrupt for just a second and just ask, during these exams, do you find that you can find other symptoms of different diseases that may come along with just a simple exam,
right,
at age 40? Like, do you find that there are other things that you can detect while giving an exam like this?
Right. So if you go to your medical doctor and for a routine physical exam, you listen to your lungs, your heart, you can pick up heart abnormalities,
right,
getting a blood pressure. You know, uncontrolled or undiagnosed high blood pressure is very common in somebody who's in the early 40s, mid 40s. They have no idea. There's no symptom of high blood pressure. Now, years of high blood pressure, pounding on the arteries, the heart working harder, that increases the risk for heart disease, kidney disease, eye problems, things like that. So a simple physical exam can pick up blood pressure, can pick up irregular heartbeat. Perhaps we always get shy of discussing sensitive issues like urinary changes. I feel like I have to go to the bathroom all the time. They gotta go right now. Socially embarrassing to talk to even your medical doctor about.
Sure.
And often it's not discussed. And say, well, you know, maybe it's part of getting older or, you know. So we justify, and I think men do that more than women, that we justify these as quote unquote normal changes. Mm. But they're not. They could be the first symptom of an underlying problem.
Right.
You know, case in point, we talk about circulation issues, heart health, and changes in intimacy, erectile dysfunction could be one of the first signs of an underlying problem. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would say probably once or twice a month, I get a guy that's coming in who's walking in, kind of timid, got the hat over his eyes. Dog, I got a little problem in bed, you know, and it's been going on for a couple of years, but I figured I'd get it checked out. And, you know, lo and behold, he's been a diabetic.
Right.
Simple test, urine check, sugar in the urine, has been an undiagnosed diabetic, right? So things like that could be one of the first signs and symptoms of changes. Now, I try to put things into perspective that men understand, right? So I think most men in our listening audience take care of cars, right? And so if you're taking care of cars, you make sure that you're getting an oil change every 3,000 to 5,000 miles,
right?
It's almost in tune. It's like a habit. You're checking the mileage and you're taking the engine and getting it checked out. Why do we do it, right? Because when we want to turn the ignition, we want that engine to turn up so we can do our daily tasks. Now, you don't have to change the oil. You can go 15, 20, you can take a brand new car off the lot and keep driving it till 25,000 to 30,000 miles till the engine shuts down.
Right?
And you go to the mechanic and say, well, where have you been? Mm-hmm. You should have been coming in every 3 months or 6 months or whatever the case is. You should have kept an eye on this engine.
Right.
But we do that we take care of our cars better than our health, right? Why wouldn't you come in, just get checked out and pick up on things? Because you know what? If that engine fails in your car, you could get another car.
Right.
But the engine in your body fails, there's no other second choice. You're not waking up.
And there you have it. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what age you really are, whether you're a young male, whether you're age 40 and need some extra tests that are normal at that age when you're a guy or a gal as well. There's tests to be done. There's frequent checkups to be had because it could detect many
different
diseases,
conditions
that are there as well. You just never know what you're going to find. And the important thing is you got to go to get checked out no matter what's going on. If maybe you're not feeling anything at all, but just get checked because you just never know.
Right. And, you know, on that note, I dread my visit to the mechanic because, you know, what bill is he going to come up with? What needs to be changed?
You never know what he's going to find.
Right. And so that trepidation is there. And yeah, sure, you can ignore that orange light on the dashboard that says check your engine. You can keep driving till, you know, you call in AAA on the side of the road unexpectedly.
Right.
But the same way, I understand that we're not the first to jump at going to a doctor's office. It is uncomfortable, but you know what? It's the necessary evil because picking things up earlier definitely make it easier to handle, right? You know, we were talking briefly about what month is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, right? And so what better month to tell our guys to check themselves out, right? And testicular cancer, although it's not a very common type of cancer, but, you know, Lance Armstrong is kind of our poster child. You know, when he was diagnosed, that testicular cancer had spread throughout his body. And the things that are so neat about testicular cancer is, one, it's easy to detect, right? So you ought to be checking yourself every month. And it's easy enough in a warm shower, the testicles hang low, easy to check out. And most guys say, well, I don't know what I'm checking for. I don't know what's normal. Well, what you're feeling today is going to be normal, and anything that's abnormal, what feels like a lump or a bump or a small marble, you can pick it up earlier. So you know what that feels a little funny. Let me get it checked out.
Sure.
And testicular cancer is like, you know, it's one of the most has the best long-term survival. It's our poster child of cancers,
right?
Because it gets detected relatively early, and the treatment options are great. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's a case in point. It doesn't, you know, diseases don't present them. You don't wake up one morning and say, hey, look at me, you got blood pressure. Mm-hmm. You have to go and check it out.
You are on the Early Bird Special right now. Yes, we are in the non-grind request hour, but hold your request for another couple of minutes because we have a special guest. We are talking to Dr. Singh. He's a urologist at St. Luke's Hospital and Premier Medical Group as well. We're talking before about this month. This is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. We were talking about some cancer involving the prostate, bladder, kidneys, and also erectile dysfunction, a little bit on that. But we talked about how cancer is something, you know, you should definitely get checked out for, how that could be a reality. And we talked about how guys are a little bit shy sometimes and getting checked out no matter what age you are. And I wanted to just kind of recap a little bit here about what we talked about. We did talk about some cancer. We talked about how to get screened for it, how we can detect other symptoms and other diseases as well with just getting your normal checkup. So I do want to just touch a little bit on now the misconceptions, common misconceptions that you see with patients that come in who tell you that, you know what, I just didn't feel like getting checked out because I thought it was normal. Do you have any comment on that? Because I know that can be something that can really hurt a patient.
Yeah, I think I view myself as like a regular guy, right? I mean, I just turned 40 last September and I don't view myself as somebody who's inapproachable. I try to keep things simple. I like talking to patients. I like talking to people. So I share my story. So my wife is an internist, medical doctor. So talk about seeing a doctor every freaking night going prior to bed, right?
Right.
And so she had been after me for a while. Hey, you got to get yourself checked out and you got to get your blood work. I'm like, I'm only like mid-30s. What do I need this for? I have a strong family history. I have diabetes, high blood pressure in the family. So I turned 40, made a commitment. All right, I'm going to go in. I finally got to that point. And I went in and the doctor turns around and said, I got some blood tests and you got diabetes. I got diabetes. What do you mean? I'm only 40. What do you mean? I got diabetes. It's like, no, man. He's like, you got to change your diet. You got to drop the weight. You got to do all these things. And you got diabetes. I got to put you on medications. So here I went through what I think most guys go through is like, I feel fine. I wake up in the morning. I do my work. You know, I get my work done. I come home. I spend time, you know, with the kids or whatever. And I feel good. Like there's nothing slowing me down.
Right.
That's how I felt. There's nothing slowing me down. My days are like 14 hours a day.
Sure.
There's nothing slowing me down. So, but that reality, like I guess in my own introspective look at things is like I avoided that visit. But it's foolish, right? Because you want to know what's going on earlier. So, I try not to lecture people because that gets kind of boring. Now people lecture me on my diabetes, you know, like I go out and, you're eating too much of this, you're eating too much of that. It's like, it's kind of annoying. I don't want to get lectured. And no guy wants to get lectured, especially a younger guy. I don't want to get lectured.
Sure.
Right. And so it does get annoying, but, you know, I try to make light of situation. I try to, you know, listen, at the end of the day, you want to be here and live the healthiest. Like it means nothing if you're going to live 90 and the last 20 years are miserable because you're managing all these medical issues, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, lifespan doesn't mean anything. You want a quality life. And again, I think at the end of the day, what brought me in my own journey to come in is you turn around, you got two young kids and it's kind of selfish not to think about others that are in your life and to ignore that, right?
Sure.
So even more than yourself, you're kind of being selfish if you don't get yourself the care that you need.
Right.
And ultimately, like now, I mean, it's so much, you know, like now the visits are so much easier. Doctor's happy, numbers are down, everything's looking good. And it's like, yeah, you know, this is another challenge that I had to step up to.
Right.
And you know what? And that's the way to look at it is, yeah, I stepped up to the plate and I'm taking care of this thing. And I think that's what you owe to yourself. And you know, yes, it's awkward, it's embarrassing, but it's not something you're doing every day,
right?
So,
and once you get past that,
it's
a lot easier to talk.
Of
you
course,
know?
Yeah.
And talking is probably the one thing, the one barrier I would say is something that once you get over it, it's all good from there,
right? And again, you need to find the right doctor, right? I mean, there are a lot of good doctors that are out there, and for some, it may not be the right fit. Doesn't mean you're stuck with them. Find somebody that suits you. And is on the same page. You know, I try to practice medicine as though if you're trying to fly a plane. Not that I know how to fly a plane, but I use that analogy that you have a pilot and a co-pilot, right? And so the job of the pilot is to get you to the destination. The co-pilot's job is to lay out the flight plans. And there's many ways to get to that final destination,
right?
And medicine's like that. The pilot is the patient. You know, you're in charge. My job is to navigate you through this journey. My job is not to crash into the mountain. My job is to give you what the flight plans are, what the different approaches are,
right.
And we pick it together, right? So so we customize treatment. And that's very important. I think in this day and age, medicine isn't dictatorship. Medicine isn't you go to the doctor and he or she tells you what to do and you got... It is a journey. It is your companion, your confidant, and somebody that's there to help you with this journey. And I think that's
right.
Important.
Absolutely is. And so you have to be on the same page with each other. And once that, you know, relationship forms, everything becomes a little bit easier to talk about. Everything becomes a little bit easier to keep going and keep getting things checked out. It all just becomes easier. So would you say that you see yourself in the patients that you see as well? And how that just affects you as the doctor from that perspective?
Right. For the first 8 years of my practice, I was always on one side of the fence where I was always giving advice.
Right.
I have experienced what it is to be on the other side of the fence in receiving advice.
Exactly.
And it was tough. But now, you know, you're open to it and you said, okay, you know, and I had to find the right doctor and I had to go through that journey. So the segue that we used on testicular cancer, right? I mean, what better segue to say, listen, you know, grab your guys by the balls and get them in and get them checked out.
This is the literal sense here. This is right. Literally what you should do. I mean, but that's it. And that's the care and that's the checks that you should do so that you can prevent future things from happening that are not good. And you want to get these things checked out for sure. And, you know, Dr. Singh is right. What, you know, find the right doctor, find the right fit, because these could absolutely help you and your family, you know, that are relying on you for the future. That's absolutely a reality in today's world. Now, I just want to touch on one last thing before we kind of wrap it up for today here. Being a young guy like myself, is there any advice you would give someone my age, you know, 24 going on 25
yeah.
a month? Obviously not at 40 yet, but are there any things, any advice that I could take or practice to prevent certain things from happening in the future for a guy like me?
Right. What's important, and I think this is not just necessarily a younger guy, but in general, men, women, you know, what we put into our body is very important. As with putting the fuel in your tank for the car, right? Yeah, high octane better than, you know, the stuff that's got mixtures and stuff like that. So why wouldn't you put good stuff in your body? So eating healthy, imperative, right? So you want to try to avoid the fast foods. And yes, we're all human. We all enjoy certain things. At the end of the day, sure, you reward yourself, you treat yourself. But in moderation, I think our portions are ridiculously, just ridiculously
yeah,
big.
Yeah, that's one
right?
thing. Yeah.
Right. And so the portions are bigger. And what kind of food are we reaching out to? Yes, of course, it's easier to get that fast food, that packaged food, the one that's, it's you know, there's no preparation involved, but may not be the healthiest. So eating fresh fruits and veggies, imperative. Staying hydrated, so important. I think we dehydrate ourselves. We substitute drinking with coffee and soda and all that stuff. So
I'm not going to be upset that you said coffee because I need it for my show. And, I'm sorry. That's thing.
And same here. Need that morning cup to get things going, right?
Yeah.
When is it too much? Drinking a pot of coffee, you know, like, all right, that's a little bit too much. So eating healthy is important and staying active. I can't stress that enough. We live in such a beautiful community. There's so many outdoor activities. Yes, we have the few months of winter and that's fine. But now, like, the weather's turning around. You know, just even if you go out for a 20-minute walk, you are already ahead of the game. And it's tough to commit to that. So this is what I tell tell people. When you go to bed, put the sneakers at the bottom of your bed, right? So when you get up, no excuse, put the sneakers on and just go out. Like, there isn't that extra step, oh, I got to go down and then put the shoes on. Just put them on and just go out for a 15, 20-minute brisk walk. That in itself. So stay active, eat healthy. You do those things, avoid things like smoking and all this other stuff that I think we get enough news about and in the media. Portion control, eating healthy, exercising. Even there's no such thing as doing it too early, somebody in his or her mid-20s, because those are the changes that become habits and stick with you, right? It's so hard to change your habits when you're older, let alone talking about you're in 50, you've been doing things for the same way for the last 30 years, and now somebody's telling you got to change things, much tougher. So start off that way.
Right. And I think those things could very well help someone who's like me. I exercise daily, right? 5-6 days a week sometimes. Cardio, lifting some weights. It doesn't have to be very heavy, right?
It could just be
something that you could lift easily, but just exercising the muscles, right? Obviously, eating healthy is something that I like to do. I know a lot of people that I know personally are starting to really get on that trend as well because they know how it could affect them in the future. It's very important,
right.
Like you're saying. But I really think that's great advice. And anyone who's listening right now who is around my age, maybe even a couple years older, getting to 30 or 35, take these pieces of advice because this could really benefit you for the future. I really think that's good advice here from Dr. Singh.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff on the internet. That's the other thing I tell. There's Google MD, but don't self-diagnose. You know, it's easier to just come in.
Never get do that, because if you do, you're going to be very, very scared very quickly.
Right, and then, as tough as it is, guys suck at coming to doctors, and all of a sudden you go online, you're like, oh my God, this is what I'm going to hear when I go in. I'm just not going to go in. It's not the right thing to do. Yes, there's good information. I have a website, which I try to make it easy. It's www.menshealthhv.com, menshealthhv.com, premiermedicalhv.com. So these are all good websites that have good information that are out there. But be careful with the knowledge that you're getting, and you know, don't consult your friend who's like doing some sort of fad diet or something like that. That's gonna, you know, may not be the right thing for you.
Sure, absolutely. Make sure you're doing the right thing and not just what someone else is doing, because everyone differs as well. Everyone's body is also different, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone needs that. And that's what I mean. That journey is customized, right? So you have to pick the right path for you.
Absolutely. And now you have learned a thing or two from Dr. Singh this morning. Dr. Singh, of course, urologist at St. Luke's Hospital and part of Premier Medical Group. Dr. Singh, it was a pleasure having you in today.
That was great.
Talk about
here.
All things urology and
the potpourri of urologic knowledge.
That's right. Hopefully, everybody who's listening right now, especially if you are a guy listening to this, make sure you get checked out, right? Talk to your family, talk to your loved ones. And it's as simple as just going to the doctor one time.
You got it. Thanks for having me.